of the incorruptible seed, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Thank you, Jesus, for that word, that wonderful word, Lord. What wisdom you have, Lord, to write such a word, what power you have to fulfill such a word. Lord, and what love you have to give us access to such a word, Lord. We thank you for that word. Amen, Lord. We just ask now that you clear our minds, Lord.
Spiritual things. We might speak the word of God, hear the word of God, receive the word of God, and do the word of God.
And again, we thank you for the word of God. We ask you, Lord, to open every ear to hear the word of God this morning. Bless Brother Jerry Ayler as he reads this verse. Read it with anointing, Lord. People be blessed. The moon, Lord, the teaching of this class today, Lord. Let it not be trivial, Lord. Let it be meaningful. Let it be real, genuine, even as it is, O God. Amen. That we would not handle the word of God deceitfully, Lord, but in all sincerity, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Touch us now, Lord. Your spirit, Lord. Hallelujah. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God, that we might understand the things of the Spirit of God. Lord, may everyone in this place go away from here today stronger and better as Christians. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Chapter 8. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth the man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and to walk in his ways, and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of those hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God to the land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes where I command thee this day. Least when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions, and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy later end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that given thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do it all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish, as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face. so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God.
Thank you, brother.
Verse 2, and thou shalt remember
all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness
to humble thee and to prove thee. Prove thee.
Everybody say prove.
Prove.
And to prove thee,
to know what was in thine heart. He wanted to prove you, to discover, to know,
to find out what was in your heart,
whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no.
So, I'm going to make a statement.
Our trials and tests
are designed by God to see what is in our heart.
Our tests and trials are designed by God to discover what's in our heart.
That word prove there is number 5254 in the Hebrew dictionary, and it means to try, to test, to subject to a testing process. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart,
whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no.
Now, a lot of us have a shingle hanging out. We have a sign hanging out. But God's not so interested in what the sign says. He's interested in what the content is. And we'll get into that. So I say again, our tests and our trials are designed by God to see what is in our heart.
You've seen the advertisement, take Valium for stress
and pressure. Too many people would rather pay for Valium than pray for victory. Three reasons, at least,
and you can think of a dozen more.
For trial by pressure.
Trial by pressure.
Number one, pressure tests strength.
Now, that should be true
of any product. Pressure would test its strength. The Apostle Paul was naturally weak, but spiritually, the Apostle Paul was a giant. He was very strong. He bore in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus. If you want to read it, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 28. That might be a good one to read, so we can begin to understand this morning what pressure really is. 2 Corinthians 11, beginning at verse 24. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes save one. 40 stripes save one would be 39. Half of 390 is 195. So he had 195 stripes on his back. Of the Jews, five times received I 39 stripes. Five times 39, 195. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Now wait, let me go back to those 39 stripes. I think most of us would quit before we got the first stripe. How many people would throw in the towel under pressure and say, well, if this is what it costs to follow the Lord Jesus, I'm quitting. I'm not going to follow that. I thought he promised me all kinds of blessings. And here I am going to suffer? Listen, Paul under pressure. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Pressure tests strength. Now, Paul withstood the pressure and proved that he was a spiritual giant. You've all read, you all know well the story of Daniel and how he withstood the pressure of being threatened. Either you worship our God or you go into the lion's den. Well, Daniel withstood the pressure of being threatened. He went in the lion's den and he came out victorious. Amen. He didn't take Valium. He didn't pay for Valium. He prayed for victory. He got it. Now, how about the Hebrew children? We all know the story of the Hebrew children and how they refused to bow down before the king and his gods and image. So
They said, well, they throw them in the furnace. They gave them a chance to think it over, and they said, we don't need any time to think it over again. Our minds are already made up. We'll take the furnace. And I want you to notice something in that story of the three Hebrew children. They were delivered in the furnace, not from the furnace. We all want to be delivered from the trial. But these men of God, these spiritual giants, were delivered in the trial. The Hebrew children were delivered in the furnace, not from the furnace. Number two, pressure reveals weaknesses. Look at Samson. What a mighty physique he must have had. Oh, look at the definition in his arms. Look at those biceps and forearms. And look at the back. And I don't know the names of all the muscles, but he must have been some sight. Anyway, he was a powerful man. And in Judges 16, we read, and it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her word and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart. Samson broke under the pressure of Delilah. Here's the man who carried away tons of steel on his shoulders to the top of a hill and baffled the enemy. Here's a man who could just do almost anything with his supernatural divine strength from above. But as powerful as that man was, yet he succumbed to a little girl. He gave in under pressure. Listen to those words again. When she pressed him daily. And isn't that just like the devil today? He's pressing you daily. He is exerting pressure on you constantly, constantly. He never lets go. And if you give up once, you give up twice. And you give up to the third thing and the fourth thing. And before you know it, you are a victim of Satan. It came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart. I think the best thing that you can do is let the devil know where you stand right at the beginning. And don't toy with him. Don't play with him. Amen. Give up this world. Come out from among it immediately. When you go to a new job or a new school or a new office or something, I think it's wise to live the life immediately. You don't have to go to one card game to see how they do and how they act, or one party to see how they do or how they act. No, I think it's good to take a stand immediately. I am a Christian. I believe the Word of God, every word of it. Praise the Lord. And I'm not backing down. Look at Solomon. Solomon, what a great man he was. Nehemiah puts it this way. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? What things? By dabbling in the world, by reaching across the borders and the boundaries of Canaan land over into a foreign land and taking wives from those people. Yet among many nations was there no king like him, who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. That constant pressure was exerted on Solomon, and the Bible says, as great as he was, as wonderful as he was, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. I would like to say something to this whole Sunday school class. When you come to me sometimes with your trials, I tell you something. And all of you don't come. So let me tell all of you at once, so you all know what to do when you're in a trial. Use your trial as an opportunity to strengthen yourself. Remember what I said at the beginning of this meeting. Our tests and trials are designed by God to see what is in our heart. So use your trial as an opportunity to strengthen yourself. Here's a trial before me. Oh, praise God. Not, oh no, another trial? I just got through one. What do you think I am, God? No, use your trial as an opportunity to strengthen yourself and build yourself up in the Lord, because God has designed every trial to make you a better person, a better Christian. Amen. That'll relieve you of whimpering and whining, of complaining and criticizing and finding fault with God. You say, thank you, Lord Jesus. And remember, the Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. That means, and I have tried to practice it, and I believe I have, whenever I step into a trial, I take my first step. Here's the borderline. I step over into a trial. I say, praise God. I can't see the end of that trial, but I have God's promise that I will come through victoriously if I will keep the faith. And so I believe God. I go into that trial knowing that I am the victor. For greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He always causes us to triumph, the Bible says. Always. Everybody say always?
Always.
That means always. That means never once do you have anything but triumph. Never once do you have anything but victory, because he gives us the victory. Somebody said, well, can't the Lord lose one battle and still win the war? I said, no, the Lord has never lost a battle. We may lose battles because we lose the faith. But Paul came to the end of his journey and said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Praise God. All you need to do is stay on the rock. The rock won't move. You move, not the rock. Amen. The rock is settled. Now, pressure tests strengths. Pressure reveals weaknesses. And number three, pressure reveals true content. You get a tube of toothpaste, and you don't know if that's shaving cream or toothpaste. So what do you do to test it? How do you know what is in the tube? Pressure. Pressure. You take the tube and you squeeze it. You smell it. You put it on your brush. You taste it and you say, yes, that's toothpaste. Pressure discovered what was in the tube. Pressure reveals true content. In Mark chapter 4, verse 36 through 41, we read about a storm that took place on the Sea of Galilee. And in the midst of that storm, Jesus was sleeping, of course, and the disciples shook him, awakened him, and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And you know, sometimes we as Christians moan, if Jesus cared for me, why did he let this happen to me? If Jesus really loved me, how come I'm going through this? We've got it all wrong. We're going through this because he loves us. Oh, you're kidding. Knock it off, Tanberg. That's the strangest doctrine I ever heard. It's strange because we're not acquainted with the Bible nor the God of the Bible. Jesus said to those who contested his word, you do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. My, I went to bed last night laughing. I went to bed last night rejoicing. And my wife wanted to know if I was nervous. I was doing flips in the bed. And I said, no, honey, I am rejoicing. I've got all I can do to keep from running around the house and talking in tongues. Praise the Lord. I just got to thinking about this mighty word of God, this precious, wonderful, powerful word of God. And if there's anything that I abound in thanksgiving for, it is the Holy Bible, the word of God. Just think, I have a copy of God's word. Did you get a letter in the mail today? Did you ever stand at the concession stand at Bible school? That's where the mail was given out. Everybody'd stand, oh, he got a letter, and he's jumping up and down rejoicing. There's probably a $10 bill in it or something, you know, and he's struggling to get through Bible college, and here I am standing over there. He got a letter. How come I don't get a letter? You know, I want some good news, too. And I watch them take their letter out and read it. And, oh, they smile, you know. And then they get real sober, wonder what that means. And then they smile some more. And then they count their money. And, oh, they're so happy. And then the guy that doesn't get the letter, or the girl that doesn't get the letter, is standing there wondering and wishing. And, oh, if I only got a letter. Well, I praise God today because I have a copy of God's love letter to humanity. I have my own personal copy. To John Tanberg from Jesus Christ, the God of the universe. Praise the Lord, the creator of all things. I have a copy of that letter. I went to bed thinking about the wisdom of God that could write such a book as that. The wisdom of God. Oh, what a wise God we serve today. And then I went to bed thinking with a cascading thought. And the power of God, the wisdom of God, and the power of God to fulfill his word. Do you know that never one time is there a thus saith the Lord in the scripture that never came to pass? Every time God said, thus saith the Lord, Thus saith the Lord God Almighty. It came to pass. That's the power of the Word of God. We do err sometimes not knowing the Scripture nor the power of God. But He is powerful. He can bring His Word to pass. He said, I have spoken it, and I also will bring it to pass. You don't have to worry about the Word of God. When you read it, you can believe it. You can count on it. It's going to happen just like He said. Sometimes we misunderstand what He says. That's why we don't think it happened. But it happened. When He says, I love you, and then He throws you in the midst of a den of lions. Or He says, I really love you, and He throws you into a burning furnace. And we start crying, God, if you love me, get me out of here. Remember, the Lord didn't deliver the Hebrew children from the furnace. He delivered them in the furnace. They overcame the heat of the furnace. Praise the Lord. So I went to bed thinking of the wisdom of God in writing such a letter, the power of God in being able to fulfill His word, and the love of God in giving me a copy of that letter. Thank God for the Bible today. We would be just like the rest of the world today, without direction, lost in a quandary, perplexed. But we have the Word of God. We have a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. The only people on the face of the earth that have direction today. The only people that know where they came from, who they are, where they're going, what they're doing, what it's all about. We are the only people on the face of the earth today that have any iota, any idea at all of what's happening. We are the only ones. Just think about it. If you think they know something, read the paper. No, I don't even get the paper. My father-in-law leaves it here, and I take it home and read it standing up. And I just noticed there's one down here today, and I looked at the headline, and it says, Governors blame Carter for this recession or our economic woes or something like that. And I thought, isn't that something? People are always trying to find somebody to blame rather than trying to find somebody to fix. We need it fixed. We don't need to find out who caused it. We got to fix it. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves, I'll fix it. If they'll pray, I'll fix it. If they'll turn from their wicked ways, I'll fix it. If they'll seek my face, I'll fix it for them. That's the answer to the world's problems today. Praise God. Amen. 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 Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, I think, first of all, the man has to be fixed before the world can be fixed. There's a lot of men need fixing today. And we've got the answer. Praise the Lord. We've got the fix-it kit right here in the Word of God. It'll do it. Amen. So when the Lord puts you in the lion's den or in the fiery furnace, or when He puts you under pressure, He is wanting to reveal your true content. He is discovering your true content, not your label. You know, anybody can put a bumper sticker on their automobile and say, I love Jesus, or honk if you love Jesus. But one man got wise and he said, if you love Jesus, don't honk, pay your tithes, you know. Things like that. Getting down to where it really, where the rubber touches the road, somebody says, where it really means something. So the Lord is trying to discover your true content, not discover your sign or your bumper sticker or your label, I am a Christian. And then the Lord puts the pressure on, and you say, I think I'll quit. He said, I thought you were a Christian. I just wanted to find out. If it says toothpaste, then it ought to be toothpaste. If it says Christian, then it ought to be Christian. Praise the Lord. How do you know you have love until you meet hate? How do you know you have peace until you are in the midst of a storm? We can boast and brag and say we have it, but how do you know? Until you have a confrontation with it. Look what came out of Stephen. He's one of my favorite Bible characters. He was a deacon in the church. He wasn't an elder. He wasn't an evangelist or a pastor. He was a deacon. He waited on table. Can you imagine seeing Deacon Stephen there, putting the plate out here and saying, hey, Jake, where do you put the fork, on the right side or the left side, you know? And Deacon Stephen is learning how to do his work. He's a deacon. And look what that deacon did. He preached a sermon that is a masterpiece if I ever read one in the Bible. Read it. He goes through the history of the nation of Israel and applies the spiritual aspect to it in a way that is just absolutely fabulous in my mind. Read it again. But look what came out of Stephen when he was under pressure. They gnashed on him with their teeth. They wanted to kill him. They picked up stones and they threw them at him, and they did succeed in killing him. But look what happened while Stephen was under that pressure. He didn't say, "Oh God, if you love me, perform a miracle." No, he didn't say that. The Bible says his faith was as it had been the faith of an angel. Here comes a stone. He missed that one. Here comes another one. He missed that one. Here comes three at once. They didn't miss. They hit him. Now one eye is bulged out about that far from his head. Now the blood is starting to stream down from his forehead. And more rocks keep coming. And now Stephen is getting dizzy. And his knees are buckling under him. And he is starting to slump a little bit. But the Bible says they looked in his face, and it was as it was the face of an angel. The Bible says he looked up steadfastly into heaven. The Bible says he called upon God, saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." The Bible says he cried with a loud voice under pressure, under extreme pressure, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." He had a label that said deacon in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he was under pressure, look what came out of Stephen. Praise the Lord. What you really are always comes out under pressure. Turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Beginning at verse 17. "And when he was gone forth into the way," Jesus that is, "there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' Then Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God.'" I know this is off the subject, but just in case there's someone here who's never heard me explain that verse, that's not talking about Jesus and God being two different people or two different persons or two different things. When Jesus said to this man, "Why callest thou me good?" he was not saying, "Hey, I am not good. Don't do that. Don't call me good. I am not good." Jesus didn't say that. He said, "Why callest thou me good? There's only one good, and that's God. Now, I am either God or I am no good." Jesus was teaching a powerful oneness truth there. I am either God or I am not good. That's what he's saying. "Why callest thou me good? There's only one good, and that's God." Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." Are you prepared this morning to say that Jesus is not good? I say Jesus is good. Jesus said himself, there's only one good, and that's God. So when I say Jesus is good, I am equating him with God. Amen. Let's go on. "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and exerted pressure. Is that what it says? It says, "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him." Now, what did Jesus do as a manifestation of his great love for this man who was hanging out his label and said, "Master, all these things have I kept from my youth up. See my sign? See my label." Jesus loved him. Jesus was impressed with his speech and said, "I read your label. I want to believe you. Now I'm going to have to squeeze you. I'm going to have to put you under pressure to see what your true content is." And he said, "One thing thou lackest. You know all that money that you have amassed through the years? Go thy way. Sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." The man was squeezed like a tube. He was under pressure, and he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved. Why? For he had great possessions. Jesus put the pressure on this man, and love for money proved to be greater than love for Jesus. He'd rather follow his money than follow the master. Listen to Deuteronomy 8:16 in this same chapter. who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. I told you at the beginning that every trial that God puts us in is designed to see what's in our heart. We should use every trial to strengthen ourselves, and every trial we go through is designed for our good in the latter end. Now you are reading it in Deuteronomy 8:16, that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. Whenever you go into a trial, remember, God has a good design.
Amen.
God has a blessing for you. Our trials are designed for our good. I know because God said so. What does Romans 8:28 say? We dare not quote that carelessly. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Everybody say all.
All.
For we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Listen, if you ever have a question about God allowing something in your life that you don't believe is good, then don't find fault with God. Get down on your knees and examine your love for God. Because he said all things work together for good to them that love God. If you love God, nothing can go wrong in your life. Even martyrdom. And we may all be martyrs. Listen, evil can only get so bad before it wants to stomp out all vestiges of Christianity. Oh, don't get quiet on me. Shout, praise the Lord. We might have an opportunity to bleed for Jesus Christ. They went away rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name's sake. Let's not be a generation of sissifies, Penny Andy, Pamsy, weaklings that are afraid to suffer for Jesus Christ. That's the message. That's the pressure. That's him squeezing us. Go sell all you have. Give it all up. Take up your cross. That means suffering. A cross never did mean a party, you know. A cross means suffering. It's known for that. We've got to get ready. We've got to be ready. If we're going to reign with him, we must suffer with him. Amen. Shout, saints. Shout. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, yes. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. What came out from Job when he was under extreme pressure? Job. Remember, all his oxen, asses, sheep, and camels were stolen. His servants were all slain with the edge of the sword. His sons were killed with a great wind from the wilderness that smote the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them and killed them. What did Job do under that pressure? The Bible says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. Shaving the head is a sign of humility. I am humbling myself before the Lord. I'm going to cut off my beautiful hair. And I think there are a lot of young men in the world today, even in some churches today, that need to shave their heads and humble themselves before the Lord. Praise the Lord. Get rid of their pride. Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground, and complained? Found fault with God? No. What's the next word? And worship. Look, he lost his animals. He lost his servants. He lost his son. And he falls down on the ground in humility and says, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The pressure got even greater. Job was smitten with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. I don't think I've ever had a boil, but I know people that have. And they haven't had boils from the sole of their foot to the crown of their head. I know a person that had one boil. And that one boil made that person so miserable, it was unbelievable. A boil is a painful thing. I had a man that I worked with one time, had a boil on his knee until he couldn't bend his knee. He went into the doctor, and the doctor lanced it. And all kinds of people were waiting in the waiting room, but they rushed him in. Pain.
Now, Job didn't have one boil. Job had boils from head to foot. He scraped himself with a piece of broken pottery, a potsherd, and he sat in ashes as another sign of humility. And his wife said, "Dost thou still retain thine iniquity? Curse God and die." What did Job say? What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? Under pressure. That's what came out of Job. The pressure was increased even more. Under attack by three miserable comforters, Job answered, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." There's one reference to Job in the New Testament. Brother James, chapter 5, verse 11, said, "Behold, we count them happy which endure pressure, test, trial, tribulation, suffering. Behold, we count them happy which endure." Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord. When you get in a trial, brother, you don't look around and count all your troubles. You look ahead and you see the light at the end of the tunnel. "I see him. I see him there. Oh, I may have a mile to go, but I see a light at the end of this dark tunnel. It's the Lord my God. He is beckoning me on. Come, my son. Come, my child. Come, my son. Keep walking." Amen. Don't look to the left, the right behind you. Keep your eye on the prize, on the goal, on the light at the end of the tunnel. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, our God. Hallelujah, 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 praise the Lord, Lord, faithful, pitiful, praise your holy name, amen, amen, amen. Thank you, my Lord Jesus, thank you, my Lord Jesus. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord. Our trials are designed for our good, believe it or not. I know so because God said so. I dare not contradict this word. I dare not find fault with this word. This is the word of God. God's wisdom, God's power to fulfill, and God's love gave it to us. The end of the Lord. That the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. That's the Lord our God. Very pitiful and of tender mercy. You can count on it. Job 42:10. "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends." Now wait a minute. God, you don't expect me to pray for those friends. I mean, if anybody has friends like I have, who needs enemies? You know when the Lord turned Job's captivity? When he prayed for those three miserable comforters. He prayed for them. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Are you praying for your enemies? Are you praying for your miserable comforters? Are you praying for those who are trying to dissuade you? Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. He was already the wealthiest. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. That was the end of the trial. During the trial, pressure, squeeze, trial, tribulation, trouble. Let's see what's in this man who says he's a Christian. Let's see what's in him. And the Lord just exerts that pressure. And then he smells, he looks, and he tastes what comes out. What are you? The Lord's interested in knowing. That's why you're going through trials. Isn't that exciting? That's exciting to me. I go through a trial. Hey, this isn't a mistake. This isn't a mistake. The great designer doesn't make mistakes. He's one architect who never has to scrap his plan. Praise the Lord. Job had a happy ending.
I got so thrilled last night going to bed.
I was writing a story here as I was studying and praying and worshiping and crying and talking in tongues and enjoying the Word of God. I thought, boy, I could end this story about Job saying, and he lived happily ever after. But I put it this way. Job had a happy ending. You and I also will have a happy ending. Now, we didn't have a happy beginning. We were born in sin. But we're going to have a happy ending. I don't know if I can get across to you what's in my heart right now. I wish I could, because it came to me in almost a riddle, you know. Okay, we're going to have a happy ending, though we didn't have a happy beginning. Only Jesus is the beginning. He stood up and declared, I. Remember now, in the Old Testament, that same Jesus stood and he looked around and he said, is there any God beside me? I know not any. My hand has done all these things. Is there any God beside me? No, no God beside the Lord Jesus. The Jehovah of the old is the Jesus of the new. Praise the Lord. So Jesus stood in the book of Revelation and said, I am the beginning and the end. Now, we cannot share in his beginning, but we can share in his end. We had a sad beginning, but we're going to have a glad ending. Okay, because only Jesus is the beginning, he is also the end, so we will have a happy end. We did not begin with him, but we will live with him as long as he lives. We had a beginning, but we have no ending, but he is the beginning and the ending. The great architect, the great designer, knows it all from beginning to end. Praise God. All things are under his control. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love you. Oh, let's stand and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we do praise you and thank you today, oh God. We thank you for the Word of God, the wisdom of God, the power of God, the love of God today in giving us, Lord Jesus, copy of this love letter to humanity. Lord, in which you have explained us and told us the terrible price that you paid, Lord, that we might be saved, that we might enjoy the ending. Oh, God, there was a purpose. Lord, we were born of that corruptible seed. Oh, thank God, there is the last Adam. The Lord from heaven, amen, incorruptible, in the Word of God, he became flesh, and dwelt among us, we beheld his glory. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We love you. We praise you, Lord. We thank you. Lord, help each one of us to understand the power of the Lord. Help each one of us, Lord, to know and realize that God. Lord, it will be like Job. He said, though after my sin, worms destroy this body, and in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself and not another. Amen. We shall stand by the